From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns reaches the final message in this extended series on the Lord's Prayer. We hope these studies have been a blessing to you and have encouraged you to increased fervency and devotion in the place of prayer. With this message, Dr. Cairns comes to the very last word in the Lord's Prayer, the word Amen. We often find ourselves using this word with little thought as to what it means. Yet it is not simply some formula that we use when we're finished praying. There is a depth of meaning in the term itself, which Dr. Cairns will seek to bring out in the course of this message, which is entitled, Faith's Final Fervent Word in Prayer. May our hearts and minds be open to the teaching of the Holy Spirit as we consider these truths. Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of the message in a few minutes. First, here is a devotional thought from Faith Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Purity of Heart and Life. The text is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity, even purity of heart, is the main thing to be aimed at. We need to be made clean within through the Spirit and the Word, and then we shall be clean without by consecration and obedience. There is a close connection between the affections and the understanding. If we love evil, we cannot understand that which is good. If the heart is foul, the eye will be dim. How can those men see a holy God who love unholy things? What a privilege it is to see God here. A glimpse of Him is heaven below. In Christ Jesus, the pure in heart, behold the Father. We see Him, His truth, His love, His purpose, His sovereignty, His covenant character. Yea, we see Himself in Christ. But this is only apprehended as sin is kept out of the heart. Only those who aim at godliness can cry, Mine eyes are ever towards the Lord. The desire of Moses, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, can only be fulfilled in us as we purify ourselves from all iniquity. We shall see him as he is, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. The enjoyment of present fellowship and the hope of the beatific vision are urgent motives for purity of heart and life. Lord, make us pure in heart, that we may see Thee.
Oh,
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to become a man? Or, why did Christ have to be virgin-born? The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
We're turning this morning to the Gospel of Matthew once again, as we come toward the end of our studies in the Lord's Prayer. Not to say we will reach the end today, we may, but at least we have come to the last word, so we're making progress. To Matthew 6, verse 9. The words of the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. The Lord will add His own blessing to the reading of His word for His own name's sake. This morning we come to this final word in the Lord's Prayer, the Amen. This word is not merely a convenient way to end the prayer. It's what the word Amen has become, a sort of a meaningless thing that simply signifies finis, the end. But in the Scriptures, that is far from the truth. This word at the end of the prayer is a very important summation and consummation of the entire worship and waiting upon God that this prayer enjoins upon us. The word Amen belongs to an illustrious family of Hebrew words. It comes from a verb that means to support, to bring up, or to nourish. It's translated in the Authorized Version at times to nurse, understanding that word not in the American connotation, but in its English connotation, which means to bear in the arm. And to support. For example, this is the word that's used in 2 Kings 10 and 1 of the elders of Israel who brought up Ahab's children. It's the word used in Ruth 4 and 16 of Naomi when she took Ruth's newborn child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. It's the word used by the prophet Isaiah to the people of God in Isaiah 49:23 when he said, Kings shall be thy nursing fathers. The idea is to place the arms under, to support, to nourish, and to bring up. With that basic meaning, the word very easily developed to mean to be firm, to be true, to be trustworthy, and to be faithful. The psalmist used it in the 32nd Psalm when he said, The Lord preserveth the faithful. Joseph used the same word to his brethren when he told them to bring their youngest brother to him, so that their words would be verified, proved trustworthy, or true. Now that's the fundamental meaning of the verb from which the word Amen comes. The Hebrew verb has various conjugations, and another conjugation of this verb developed to mean stand firm. Not just to be firm, but to stand firm. That is to believe, or to confide in, or to rely upon. For example, this is the verb that's used in that most famous text regarding Abraham in Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And you'll find that this is a very frequent use of the verb right throughout the Old Testament. It's a verb that signifies belief, faith, confidence, and reliance. The whole family of words throughout the Old Testament carries always the idea of something fixed, something sure, something steady, something established or firm, faithful or true. When we read the Lord's promise to David, "Thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before me," this is the term he chose. When we read in the 78th Psalm of the children of Israel that their heart was not right with God, neither were they steadfast in his covenant, then again this is the term that's used. Indeed, the word is translated by the Authorized Version in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 8, to signify a sure covenant. The word covenant is italicized, but nonetheless, it is essential to the meaning. It's a sure covenant. Later on in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 11 and 23, it is used of the portion. You could use it of a portion of food or a portion of anything doled out to people if it is a fixed portion. And it gets that usage from the idea of something fixed. Now, when you put all this together, all this makes this particular group of words a very good group of words for describing God. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, we're told, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God." This is the word. When Isaiah in chapter 65 and 16 calls him the God of truth, this again is the word that he employs. And in both those texts, in Deuteronomy 7 and Isaiah 65, you could actually translate it as the Amen God. I think that's a beautiful description of the Lord in his faithfulness. He is the Amen God. So this family of words is very good for describing the Lord. And that in turn makes this group of words particularly appropriate to use in our dealings with God. That's what makes the Amen in Scripture so important. It is absolutely appropriate, given its range of root meaning. It is absolutely appropriate for our dealings with God. In the Scripture, for example, Amen is used to express the solemnity of God's truth and our assent to it. You turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. You've got a wonderful picture there of the tribes of Israel divided between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Gerizim, the Mount of Blessing, Ebal, the Mount of Cursing. And as they stood there, all the blessings were given out, and then all the curses were given out. 12 times we read that on Mount Ebal, the tribes rang out, "Amen, Amen, Amen." One Amen for every tribe. As the curses and the solemnity of the law of God were sounded in their ears, they said Amen to that solemn word. And their personal assent to it. I'm very tempted to get off on one of my famous tangents here and say and follow a lot further than simply saying that the one Amen per tribe is a dramatic indication recorded by the Holy Ghost that the mark of the whole Church of Christ and the mark of every individual part of the Church of Christ is its solemn assent to the Word and the covenant of God. You are not a Christian by mere profession, nor is a Christian church such by mere profession or even by mere history, where there is not the personal, solemn assent to and acquiescence in the divine revelation of Scripture, and especially in the covenant of God, you do not have Christianity. You do not have divine religion at all. So it expresses that solemn truth of God and our assent to it. Amen. Also expresses the certainty of faith in God. We read of this in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 6, that Ezra blessed the Lord God, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Amen, expressive of their faith. And of course, it also expresses the fervency of desire. In Jeremiah 28, we have Jeremiah's response to certain false prophets who were contradicting his prophecy of the doom that awaited the disobedient people of Judah. They promised all sorts of peace and prosperity and all the greatness that God was going to give to the nation. The prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. This was not his faith that the Lord would do so. But when they painted a picture of prosperity among the people, he said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied. That was his fervent desire. That text actually gives us the inspired interpretation of the word Amen as a word to denote truth and desire and faith. It means, may the Lord do so. Or literally, let it be or may it be. And that's what makes it such a perfect word at the end of this and any great prayer. Actually, there's a better reason for having it at the end of the prayer than even its meaning. May it be, or so be it, or may the Lord do so. There's a better reason than that, than the New Testament gives us that reason. And it's simply this, that Amen is a personal, glorious title of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation 3:14, the Lord Jesus spoke unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, and he said, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. These things saith the Amen. Thus the final word of the Lord's Prayer actually invokes the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Amen, God incarnate.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak. Thank you.